Well, good morning. Welcome to Foundry today. And I want to say a welcome to Foundry Vicksburg joining us. Can we celebrate Foundry Vicksburg joining us over video right now? We're glad that we get to worship God together as one church in multiple locations and just get to celebrate Him and who He is. And I was just really touched as we were singing that song, Fall Like Rain. We want the Holy Spirit's presence to be with us in this time together. There's a special way that God shows up with His people gathered together. But the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives every single day, right? In the mundane moments, the boring moments, the exciting moments, the Holy Spirit's with us. And what a privilege we have to get to live with the Holy Spirit. We are continuing our message series, More Blessed, and it all kind of comes from this idea. Jesus says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive, which is just, it's a little counterintuitive to how most of us want to live our lives, how most of us live our lives, but it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if you're here for the first time today, we're talking about money. We've been talking about money for a couple weeks. We'll keep talking about it for a little bit, but I want to invite you back. Eventually, we're going to stop talking about money. But we talk about money because it's so important to God and who He created us to be and how this world works. The first week, we talked about how the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, right? God owns everything. We only manage it. Week two, we talked about how that where our treasure is, Jesus says, our heart is there also. So we got to make sure our money's directed the right way, going the right way. It just affects how we perceive all of reality. Today, we're going to dig into God's word even more, and we're going to talk about how do we learn to be generous. How do we learn to be generous? If you've ever been a parent, or you've been around anybody, or if you've had brothers or sisters or roommates, like, you know that most people aren't just overflowing with generosity. Like, most of us, it's just not the most natural thing. We have to learn to be generous. And so we're going to talk about that today. How do you learn to be generous? Back when I was learning how to ride a bike, I don't know how old I was probably a prodigy. You know, I would think I probably learned to ride a bike when I was like 2 years old. I don't know how old I was, but what I do know is that we believed in the principle of hand-me-downs in my family growing up. Anybody else came from a family like that? You know, you just like, you believe in it. It was like, it was built in. It was a core value of my family, right? You don't get your own new stuff. You get stuff that's been used by other people, lots. And so one of the hand-me-down principles we had was we had a certain order of bikes that got handed down. And I guess my oldest brother probably kept getting new bikes, but then the other ones got handed down. And so I had to wait for my turn to learn how to ride a bike until my older brother Josh, who's 16 months older than me, and that's dangerously close, right? It's like well-used recently stuff that got handed down to me. And so I could use stuff after Josh got done with it. And so he's 16 months older, so he's learned how to ride his bike. He's ridden this bike for a little bit, and now it's my turn. The problem was, like, back in this day, they didn't have balance bikes. You know those little balance bikes they have for kids now? I see kids in my neighborhood on those. I'm like, that's brilliant. These are like 2-year-olds. They're able to like still have their feet on the ground and learn how to balance. We didn't have those back then. We had training wheels. And training wheels was the way. It was the way unless you got a hand-me-down bike. And see, Josh had just gotten the training wheels taken off so he could learn how to ride. And apparently putting in 4 screws was a little too hard to do it for me. So I had to learn how to ride a bike without training wheels. Literally, I remember the conversation. It was like, hey, it'd be a lot to put these training wheels back on if you could just learn how to ride a bike without training wheels, right? Any other middle children here? Like, I've been given the spirit of middle child by the Lord, and I just get overlooked, forgotten, no training wheels. And so I never had that moment. I had amazing parents, okay? But I never had that moment you see in movies where, like, the dad's running along with the kid and releases the kid on the bike, and the kid's like, oh, it's great. That wasn't me. I also didn't have the training wheels. Here's what happened. Like, literally, this was the conversation. It's a little too hard to put the training wheels back on. We just took them off 1 year ago. So here's a bike. Here's a hill. Go for it. That was it. Now, there was some grass on the hill, but that was it. Like, that was it. So it's just hop on and go for it. And you can imagine, you hop on the first time, and there's no go, right? There's just a plop. And then you hop on the next time, and there's like a go, plop. And then there's like a go, go, plop. And then eventually, you know, after a lot of bruises, and I still think probably concussions that I'm carrying with me to this day, you learn how to ride a bike, which is a way to learn. But man, it helps to have a tool or help, helps to have a guide as you're learning how to ride a bike. It helps to have a tool or a guide in anything you do in life. And thankfully, when it comes to learning how to be generous, He's given us a tool. As followers of Jesus, we learn to be generous through the tithe. You've probably heard tithe before. It's a very churchy word. It's one of those words you don't hear anywhere else out in the world. You don't, like, you know, pull up whatever YouTube star you're following, and they're like, let's talk about tithing today. No one talks about it. except for the church. And so I think there's some real misconceptions about what the tithe is and why we have the tithe. A lot of people think a tithe is just giving any money to the church. So have you ever done that thing? You've shown up at a church and they're passing the plate, which we don't do here at Foundry, but they're passing the plate down and you feel kind of guilty. And you're like, you're kind of scrambling around, looking in your purse, looking in your pockets. And you're like, I have a nickel. And you put, you know, ideally you have some dollar bills though. And then you hide it when you put it in. You've done this, right? You put the dollar bills in your fist and you go all the way down and then release it. So no one's sure if you're putting in like Benjamin Franklin or if you're putting in like, you know, something way less. And so you put that in. And a lot of people think anything you give to the church is a tithe. But a tithe actually means, it comes from this Hebrew word, maser. The word maser just means a tenth. It's not a fancy word. It's just like, hey, 10%. And so a tithe is this biblical principle we see throughout the Bible that talks about giving 10% of your income, everything you make, back to God. And some of you are thinking right now, you're like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. The tithe we see at the very beginning of the Bible. So a lot of times people think this was given by God in the law given to Moses in the Old Testament, but it was actually, we see it practiced before that. So all the way back in Genesis chapter 14, we see Abraham, who was called by God to be the father of the Jewish people, and someday from Abraham, Jesus would come, right? From his lineage, Jesus would come. And Abraham defeats this king who came and attacked his family. It's a long story, but he beats him, and he takes all the stuff that king had, and then he gives a tithe of it, or 10%, to the king of Jerusalem named Melchizedek. And we can also read about this in Hebrews chapter 7 as well. So Abraham does that. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who would be renamed Israel, and this is who Israel came from. He had 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob promises the Lord, he says, Lord, whatever you bless me with, he was in a tough spot. He said, Lord, whatever you bless me with, I'm going to give you a tithe. I'm going to give you 10% of everything. You go throughout the Old Testament, you see this popping up over and over again. God actually commands the people of Israel, like the Ten Commandments, the law given to Moses. It's not part of the Ten Commandments, but it's part of the law. God tells his people to tithe. In the book of Numbers, he says, I want you to tithe. I want you to take 10% of everything you have. And for most of them, they were farmers. 10% of your flocks that come in that you get new every year. 10% of your crops. 10% of everything. And give it back to me. Specifically, give it to the tabernacle, which is their place of worship, so that they could pay the Levites, which is the people who led the worship there. But then in Deuteronomy, we see God actually adding two other tithes. And so he adds, the first tithe was to go to support the Levites. The second tithe was actually to go to throw a big feast for you and your family. Come on, can I get an amen for that? How great would that be? Take 10% of what you make every year and just like party, just go. And that's what they did. They'd actually go to the place of worship and throw a big party to celebrate the Lord and all the blessings he brought in their lives. And then there was a third tithe, which you'd give every 3 years, and you would give it to the poor, those needy around you. So it kind of worked out to where if you were a Jewish person, before you did the other offerings, you were given at least 23% on average every single year. You were giving it to the Lord. You were just giving it back to the Lord. And this kind of functions, they didn't have as many taxes, at least at that early stage. And so it functions like a way to take care of people. But it was really primarily about giving back to the Lord and honoring him, honoring what he had given to them. We see this throughout the Old Testament, then get to the New Testament. And Jesus, as a Jewish man, would have tithed. So whatever he made from being a carpenter and building really good decks and really nice rocking chairs or whatever the Jewish carpenters built, then he would give that back. He'd give a 10% portion of that. In fact, in Matthew 23, he's talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, and he says, hey, you guys tithe, and that's good, but you also need to have your hearts right. But he affirms tithing as a good thing. And in fact, he goes beyond that. In the teachings of Jesus, he emphasizes we should have this radical, above and beyond generosity. We don't limit ourselves to the tithe, but we give so much more to God. In fact, everything is God's, and we try to give as much of it to him as we can. You go to the New Testament, further beyond Jesus, and you see in the book of Acts how in the early church, everyone would sell what they had to give to those around them, to support those who were in need. Acts chapter 4 talks about people selling whole fields, like selling their property and just bringing the proceeds from that and laying it before the church and saying, we want to give this to God. Paul doesn't talk about giving a lot in his letters. He does say we should give, but it seems to be something the churches are just doing. Like in the book of Philippians, he does talk about giving, but how he talks about it to the Philippian churches, thanks for your generosity, thanks for giving. It seemed to be built into the church. There's really only one church that he spends a lot of time teaching about giving and generosity. It was the spiritually unhealthiest church we see in the New Testament, the church in Corinth. And they're so spiritually sick, And I think there's something that comes between being spiritually weak or spiritually sick and not being generous with the Lord. And he spends a lot of time in both 1 and 2 Corinthians teaching the Corinthian church to be generous. He says things to them like, hey, every Sunday when you gather together, take money and set it aside so you can be generous with it. Set that money aside. He says, be a cheerful giver. He says, what you sow is also what you're going to reap. He says, make sure you give. In fact, he holds up those Philippian churches, right? He says, hey, look at them, how much they're giving. You need to be like them. They don't just give, he says, from a portion, like according to what they make, which would be like a tithe. They give above that and beyond that. And so what you see throughout the Bible is that the tithe and giving and generosity with the Lord is so key to how God made us. It's key to being one of God's people. But sometimes I hear teaching about the tithe and I just don't think it's sometimes the most biblical. Like the tithe sometimes is held up as this is the goal of what you're shooting for. Back when I was a kid, I not only learned to ride a bike through falling over a lot, but I also wore headgear. And I was homeschooled. It was a tough life. You know what I'm saying? Hand-me-downs, headgear, it's just a tough, tough life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I know some of you live the headgear life. And it's exactly what you've seen in all the movies, right? It's always the kid who, like, is the nerd in the movies getting made fun of. And you stick the headgear on and you put it on. And so I had some wacky teeth that I had to take care of. And so I had that headgear first and then braces. Can you imagine? Like, the Lord blessed me with, a good dentist, actually, is what he blessed me with. And so I wore this headgear, and this weird thing started to happen. I was really good about it. I was homeschooled, so I didn't have to worry about, like, wearing it to school, you know? So I would just wear it a lot to get the problems taken care of with my teeth. And every time I go to the dentist, they'd be like, wow, you're making so much progress. How much do you wear this? Oh, my goodness, you wear this so much. That's so impressive. And this weird thing started to happen. Part of my identity became, I'm really good at wearing my headgear. You want to talk about a weird identity, right? Like one that's probably unhealthy and you probably should leave behind. It's like, man, I'm wearing this headgear better than all those public school kids. Like, you wouldn't believe it. Like, no one else can wear this head. I feel sorry for the people who don't have to wear headgear because they don't get to be as good at it as I am. And I just kind of became, like, for a couple years, like, part of my identity, probably an unhealthy amount, was like, I'm killing this headgear thing. Like, I wanted to make it tighter every time. Like, can I just go one notch tighter, you know, just to, like, make this happen faster? And part of my identity became wrapped up in the headgear. And that's really weird for a lot of reasons. But it's also not the point of headgear, right? Like, the idea of headgear or braces or anything else is not, like, you should be the best at it. It's, hey, it's moving us in a direction. The same thing's true with the tithe. God has given us the tithe not so we can be legalistic about it, but so that we can learn how to be generous. And he's given us the tithe and pretty specifically taught on it in the Bible so we can embrace what he has for us and say, God, I want to be as generous as I can be. And I want you to teach me how to do that. And we are just not naturally generous as human beings. And so God has really set this up. And from the very beginning, from Genesis all the way through Scripture, we see him setting this up so that people can be generous. And so I want to invite you today to embrace this principle of the tithe. To embrace, like, I want to learn how to be generous. And so I may not understand it. My budget may not understand it. But I want to seek to become everything God has for me. It's not going to be my identity, right? Because the tithe is not my identity. But being generous with God is part of being a son or daughter of God. So if you have your Bible today, we're going to go to a place, and this is often a place that's preached about when people preach on tithing, Malachi chapter 3. Let me tell you a little bit about Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. It's one of the last books written in the Old Testament. Maybe the last one or close to it. Malachi was a prophet, and the name Malachi actually means my messenger. He was a prophet that came to the people of Israel after they'd returned from exile. So the kingdom of Israel split into two. You had the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom of Israel disappeared. It was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC. In 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah was attacked by the Babylonians, and they were, almost all of them were taken off to Babylonia. And once that happens, you're kind of done as a nation. It's all over. Like, they've taken you away. They've depopulated your nation. It's over. But by the grace of God, and this was actually prophesied by God, about 70 years later, they came back. Some of them, not many of them, but some of them were allowed to come back by the king, and they settled again. And that whole time of being gone and coming back is known as the exile. So this was after the exile. So the people of Israel have already sinned against God, and God sent judgment on them. They were taken away, and now they're back. And you think once God restores you, you should just do what he says and follow him and be excited about it. But that's not what was happening. And over again during this time, people were not following what God said. So Malachi came, Malachi chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 7. Malachi says, and this is really God speaking through Malachi. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, well, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. It's never a good thing when the God who just brought you back from the captivity you were in, but who brought judgment on you before, says, hey, you're robbing me. And that's kind of a big thought, right? God owns everything. You're like, how can we rob God? Like, how could we do it? And this is what God says. In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So the people of Israel were in this place where they were actually far from God. And God says, hey, you are robbing me because they weren't being generous with the tithe, being generous with God. They were being selfish. And for a nation like America, that God's blessed us amazingly with prosperity. And you're here today. I know many of us aren't making a lot of money. You are still among the top earners in the world, like the top few percent of earners in the world. If you're working like a basic job, just like somewhere in retail right now, you're making more money than almost anybody else in the world. God has blessed us with so much wealth, and yet we just want to hold on to it. And God says to the people of Israel, I think he says the same thing to us, you're robbing me. You're robbing me. And us robbing God doesn't hurt God, right? Because God owns it all. But it does hurt us. So what does God say about giving? Here's the first thing I want to highlight today in talking about a tithe. A tithe is 10%. God says, bring the full tithes into my storehouse that there may be food. He says, bring the full tithe in. God wants you to give 10% of your income, not because he has to have it, but because you need to do it. Learn to trust him. You need to learn to give to him. Bring the full tithe. Bring all 10% in. When I was growing up, man, a lot of growing up stories today, right? When I was growing up, we had money jars, which sounds awesome, except it wasn't like you got money put in your jars. You had to put your own money in the jars. And so as a kid, you would get like, we would get minimal allowances, right? Because we were a hand-me-down family. So we weren't giving out like $5 and $10 allowances. It was like 15 and 25 cent allowances. You know, anybody with me here? Remember those days? That was like a lot of years ago, though, I guess, at this point. But still, not much money. And so what we were taught to do is we had four jars, and they were old like icing jars, like Kroger icing jars, like cake icing jars, and you could decorate it. And so I like put guns and stuff on mine because that's what I was saving up for, like guns and swords was what was on mine. And so we had four jars, though. The first one was spending, and you put 25% into the spending. The second one was saving for college, and you put 25% into that. Now, I guarantee you that paid for like half of 1 minute of instruction at college, but still, it was the principle of the thing. The third jar was special savings, and this is where most of the guns and swords were drawn on, because this is like saving up for the big stuff that you're going to get someday. And then the final one was giving to the church, giving to God. And I remember I drew in brown a big, just single line cross, just like Jesus, this is Jesus's. And I'd put 25% of my allowance into that. And it wasn't until I was older and started reading the Bible more that I realized, man, my parents bamboozled me. Right? Like when I discovered the tithe, I was like, this is discount Jesus. This is like when you go to Kroger and you get the Pst brand. You know what I'm talking about? The super cheap. It's like there's brand name, there's generic, and then there's Pst. It's just like napkins and stuff. It's the super, super cheap stuff. You don't know it because y'all are bougie. But like I buy this stuff. And I was like, a tithe is so cheap. Oh my goodness, it's great. But here's the reality. As you start making more money and you're not just a kid who doesn't pay for anything, 10% is it's a lot. It's a lot. 10% really, you feel it. And here's a truth about tithing that I've learned. When you're not making much money, a tithe feels like a lot. It's just a lot because you don't have much. But you know what's also true? When you start making a lot of money, a tithe is a lot. because it's just way more money. And you're like, I'm going to give away that to God every month? That's a chunk of money. And it starts to get really hard. And what I've learned is if you don't learn to tithe where you are today, then you will never be able to tithe. And so many Christians I know who don't tithe are actually making more. It's interesting. Mississippi is one of the most generous states in the nation. I think Utah beats us occasionally. Those Mormons, right? They edge us out occasionally. But we're one of the most, but we're also the poorest state. I think we should pay attention to that. It is easier to give when you have less. I know it feels harder, but like there's something that when money gets into your heart more, it gets harder and harder to be generous with God. God says, bring a full tithe, 10%. And so if you want, I'm talking like you specifically, want to learn how to be generous, then start off by saying, I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to give 10%. I was talking to my uncle a little while back. He's a pastor down in Florida. And he was telling me about a time several years ago, he took one of his sons and they went through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Now, he didn't really want to go. He was picking up his son from school, but his son really wanted to go to McDonald's. And so they went to McDonald's. The son wanted some French fries. So they drive through, wait in line, get the French fries. They get a large, you know, and he gets it for his son and hands it to his son. And as they're starting to drive off, he says, hey, son, can I have a few of those fries? And his son says, why didn't you get your own fries? Now, parents, I've never been a parent, but like, I got to imagine at that point, this is not the warm, fuzzy kind of parenting at this point. This is the, like, I brought you into this world. And not that I can take you out. I'm going to take you out. Like, we're going to do it this afternoon, okay? It's over. Like, his uncle thought, like, or my uncle thought, man, I took a special trip for you here. I got you French fries, and you won't let me have a few of the French fries I just bought for you. And just the insult of that. And I know it's French fries, but the insult of that as a parent. I mean, he could have just gone back around and bought himself five French fries larges. You know, he could have done whatever, but he wanted a few French fries from his son. And his son said, absolutely not. And I asked him, I said, what would you have done if your son had said, hey, Dad, here's not just a few, here are all of them. He's like, I would have taken him to McDonald's every single day for the rest of his life. He could have just had French fries out the wazoo. Is that a word? Out the wazoo. He could have had so many French fries, but he wouldn't do it. So my uncle actually had a guy come into his church who owned a bunch of McDonald's. So he said, I want you to go and find out how many French fries are in a large French fry. So he went and got and counted them up. And on average, he counted a bunch. This was a scientific study. On average, pre-shrinkflation, McDonald's would put 66 French fries into one of these, which is a pretty good. You think about like you're bang for your buck there, right? That's pretty good. That's like, what, 4 cents a French fry? That's pretty good. Those are delicious. And so he thought, man, my son wouldn't even give me like 5 or 6 French fries. He had 66. And then my uncle said, I wonder how many times I do that with God. God's like, hey, can I have some French fries? And you're like, yeah, God, why don't you go through the drive-thru yourself and get yourself some French fries? God says, hey, can I have just 10%? And you're like, God, hey, I know you got, go figure it out on your own. And I wonder how many blessings from the Lord we're missing out on because we won't give him 6 or 7 French fries. He just asked us. He's the God who gave it all to us. We won't give it back to him. A tithe is the full 10% of what we bring in. Some people ask the question, is it pre-tax or post-tax? You know, then you know you're really dealing with an accountant at that point, or someone who doesn't want to give. And here's my response to that. Like, the Bible talks about giving the first fruits to God, the first things you make to God. And often we want to give out of our take-home, like once the government's taken their amount. But I guess here's the question, like, are you putting your reliance and your trust and your allegiance to the government first or to God first? And if it's to God first, then you give pre-tax. Like before they take taxes out of your paycheck, you give on that amount. And here's just my question to you. Do you want God to bless it all or just bless part of it? You want God to bless it all or just part of it? So it's 10%. Here's the second thing that we see. It's 10%. God said, bring the full tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Here's what's key about tithing. And we got to wrap our minds around this because as Americans, we think a lot about our choices and what we do with our money. Tithing is giving 10%, here's the second piece of it, to God. 10% of our money to God. And this is key because often we see it as giving to a pastor, it's not that. Giving to a church, it's not that. Tithing is 10% of our money to God. We're giving it to him, we're trusting him with it. Because he's the one we're serving. He's the one who's asked for it. He's the one who's given it to us. And so we give it back to him. We trust him with it. And really, this is an act of faith. It's taking Jesus seriously at his teaching. He says in Matthew 6, like, hey, look at everything around. Look at the birds. Look at everything else. They're not worried about what they're going to wear. Are you not much more valuable than they? Like, I'm gonna take care of you. So giving that 10% to God, not to something else or someone else, like, we're giving it to God. That's really what tithing's about. It's about us learning to trust him, to put our full reliance on God. So 10% to God. And here's the final thing. It kind of undercuts what I just said, but it doesn't at all. It works with it. It's through the church. 10% to God through the church. So God talks here, right? He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Storehouse here is talking about the temple. It's talking about God's temple. That's what the main part of the tithe was, right? Is you bring the tithe to the temple to support the worship of God. That there may be food in my house, God says. God's house was the temple. Now, the truth is, this physical space we're in right now in Vicksburg, the physical space you're in right now, that is not God's house. Now, I mean, we can say it is, right? It is, but it's not God's house. The temple was like, there was one temple. There's a whole bunch of churches. But we see that God wants us to give to him back through the place of worship. That's what the tithe goes to. We're talking next week about how there's other ways you can give and give beyond the church, but a tithe is 10% to God through the local church. And you see this, by the way, taking place in Acts. So in Acts chapter 4, you have this guy who sells a whole field, I already talked about it, sells his property, and he takes all that money from selling the property, and instead of being like, well, I think about, you know, some of this money could go here to this organization and some here, he brings it all, and it says he lays it at the feet of the apostles. In other words, he brings it to the local church leaders and says, I trust you to steward this and use it well. And so it's taking 10% of our money, giving it back to God through the local church so it can be used for local ministry and impact around the world. And there's ways that the money that's given here, immediately a lot of it's, a good chunk of it's going overseas, it's going to other organizations, but it's also going to meet needs here. We don't talk about those as much, but like specific needs around us, and then it's going to fuel the ministry of Foundry Church. And so a tithe is giving 10% to God through the church. That's what a tithe is. Here's the outcome of the tithe, though. Look at the promises God says. He says, hey, test me. Right, test me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. When we tithe, what we're saying is, I'm going to just choose to commit myself to God and his provision. I'm not depending on how much money I can make for my job because I'm choosing to live on less than that. I'm choosing to commit myself to the blessings of God. Now, God doesn't say here exactly how he's going to bless. You would assume there's some financial blessing involved, right? And so probably, in my experience, that's been the case. As I've been generous with God, he's been generous back to me. But it's not just financial blessing. God blesses us spiritually. He's going to bless the people of Israel spiritually if they follow him and obey him. He blesses people relationally. I really believe that there's people, and in your life, there's relationships out of whack because God's blessing is not over parts of your life because you are not giving him access to parts of your life. You're not honoring him with the tithe. There's also a level of just peace that God brings. Like, God's blessing comes through the peace in your life. What God says is, test me. And what I'd say to you is, like, test God on his promise. Like, if you believe God exists, God says, do this, give a tithe, full 10% to God through the church. Test me in this and see what happens. See what happens. I'd say to you, test God in this. I've been tested a little bit this week. It's interesting being in this generosity message series. It's kind of easy to preach, you know. You're like, yeah, be generous with God. God owns it all. You know, your treasure is where your heart is. And then, you know, we had that storm come through about a week and a half ago. I had a big leak in my ceiling. If you ever owned a house, like, water flowing into your house that you don't want flowing into your house is never a good thing. That's like the start. And it was happening right as I was going out of town. Like, the night I was going out of town, there's water dripping. I hear it at midnight. I'm like, oh, snap. One of my roommates hadn't said anything about it. They just put, like, a big bucket to catch the water coming from the roof. I was like, oh, no. And so I had people come look at it. So this week I had this lady come look at it, and pretty much the verdict is I need a new roof, which is, like, more than, you know, $25. I mean, that's, like, the range I was given was the top was $28, the bottom was $21,000. And like, that's the sort of thing, yeah, I don't know about for you, like no one reacted to that. Maybe we're just like, that's this week's paycheck for you. For me, that's like a chunk of money. You know, that's like a good bit. That's like, whoops, maybe I need to get a new identity and leave town. Okay, kind of money, right? It's like, and so that's this week, right? Right in the middle of all this. And so my first thought was like, thank you, Lord, for the sermon illustration this week. But really, I'm very honest with you. I have had zero stress about this. And I don't know, of course, I'm trying to find the cheaper option. I'm doing that. I'm like trying to figure out everything I can. But I've had zero stress, total peace about it. I've lost zero sleep about it. You know why? Because God's going to bless me. In fact, that peace is the blessing. I've been generous with God. I've trusted him. I've given a tithe, full 10%, to God through the church. I'm good. Now, like, there's still the $21,000. I'll probably be $21,000 poorer soon, but I'm good. God's got it. And I just want every single one of us to be in this place where we are experiencing the blessing of God that comes from being radically generous. But our generosity shouldn't start with giving a little money here, a little money there to people around us. It should start with giving money to God. Bring a full tithe into the storehouse so that God's house may have food so we can test God and see if he won't bring just amazing blessing. Open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessing on us. And I've just experienced this in my life. I haven't preached on tithing enough. It's been like 3 years since I've preached about tithing, I think. And it's because I don't want to make stuff about money. Yeah, it's like a pastor, you feel weird. Like, I don't want to be that televangelist making everything about money. But what I've done is a disservice to anyone here who's not tithing, who doesn't know you need to tithe, because I've experienced God's just abundant blessing in my life. Like, despite the roof thing, despite the challenge, like, God's blessing's been poured into my life in large measure because I've trusted him with my money. And I just want every single one of us to be in that place where we're just saying, God, I fully trust you. The full tithe, I'm going to give it to you through the local church, and I'm going to trust you. And I just challenge you on that. Like, just, are you willing to trust God and test him? And just try it for a couple months? Just say the next, like, 2 or 3 months, I'm just going to start tithing. Let me tell you exactly how to do it. It's very simple. Today, before you leave, commit to someone that you will start tithing. It's the sort of thing that, like, by the time you leave and you get home and then you realize you need a roof repair and you realize all the stuff that's going on, you're like, I'll start the tithe next month. I'll start it next year. I think 2030 is probably the time that I should start my tithe. No, commit to someone today that you're going to do it. And then if you have a steady paycheck, like you're getting a salary, then go ahead and just calculate what that would be. What would the full tithe be? The pre-tax income before anything's taken out, like what's your full income? Take 10% of that every month and give it to God. If what you make varies, you're hourly, then calculate every paycheck, what's my full tithe, and then give it to God. Just do it. Just test God in this. He's going to take care of you. You're going to be able to make it. He's going to bless you through it. And I just feel so strongly about this because I've experienced God's blessing in this, and I want you to experience God's blessing too. As followers of Jesus, we learn how to be generous through giving the tithe. It's not the goal, but as we live this out, as we give the tithe, this biblical principle that God has taught us, that he's going to build this generosity into us so it overflows, where you kind of forget your tithing because you're giving so much more someday that the tithe is just like a piece of how God's blessed you to be generous with other people. So I want to challenge you, test God in this. Commit to someone today that you're going to do it. Calculate what a full 10% is. And then every single time you make money, start tithing off that to God. And he will bless you. And we give back to God because of all that he's given to us. So I want us right now to prepare our hearts to respond to God. And I just want to invite you to this place of prayer. Maybe your prayer needs to start with a commitment to God. It's like, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to live this out in my life. But maybe your prayer needs to start with just thankfulness to God for what he's already given you. You haven't thanked God enough for his blessings. And it's hard for you to be generous with him because you haven't focused enough on how he's been generous with you. So I just want to invite us to this time of prayer right now. And let's just invite the Lord into our lives, into our finances. Father, right now we thank you for all that you've done for us, for sending your son to us, the ultimate gift to us, for the way that your grace, your presence, power, and provision is at work with us every single day, every single week. Father, I just pray that you would help us in this moment to experience your grace and that you would open up our hearts to be generous with you. Lord, to be generous with others. I pray for my brothers and sisters here who are wrestling with the concept of tithing, just the idea of taking 10% and entrusting it to you. Lord, would you give them a deep faith in your word, not in anything I've said, not anything I've urged them to, but in your word and your challenge and your promises. Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in that, walk in this generosity, to learn how to be generous together as followers of Jesus through the tithe. And as we do that, Lord, I pray for your abundant blessings. Lord, I pray that the concerns of our hearts right now, that you would take those away by your blessing. That our financial need, as we give more to you, that you would provide for that. That our relational needs, our spiritual needs, Lord, that you would provide for all of these things as we put you first with our finances. Father, we offer our full selves to you, and we offer a tithe to you as well. We pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet today. We're going to sing to the Lord who has saved us, who's redeemed us. As we do that, there's people up front ready to pray with you. I invite you to come down and be prayed over. Maybe that prayer is, I'm committing to the Lord and I don't know how it's going to work. Maybe that prayer is, I just need help with something this week. I need God. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but come forward, be prayed over, seek God with your brothers and sisters, and let's worship him together.